was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather. I'm GPD biologist John Weatherby. Very wet tonight in the lower Mississippi Valley from Barry. Excessive heat warning in Phoenix. 113 tomorrow, 114 on Tuesday. Severe thunderstorm watch in Minnesota back across Montana. That's along a stalled front. And ahead of that front, heat advisory for the Dakotas with heat indices above the danger level at 105. That's a rarity in that part of the world. And as a result of Barry, a new heat wave will develop this week over the central and eastern states. Well, what's your forecast for tomorrow? Heat and humidity. And if there's rain, it's probably from Barry or part of that stalled front up north that'll try to drift southward. More severe weather expected. Barry gets ready to turn right this week into the Ohio and Tennessee Valley, later through Pennsylvania, Cape Cod by Friday. Merely a shadow of itself by then, of course. No, typical late-day thunderstorms apart from Barry, and there's more heat. 90s by Friday for the northeast quarter, triple-digit heat indices, and more heat back to Chicago and Kansas City. It'll even be hotter across the southeast. And more details on Barry and his impact on your forecast in 20 minutes. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, Sterling on Sunday.
This music, pop music, is the greatest force in our nation, I think, in the world today. This is what the people want to hear. A lot of people are against it. But I think this is the most dynamic form of entertainment that has ever, ever happened.
When you create something new, how many times do the people who create something new actually realize they're in the middle of a revolutionary act? That they're creating something new and important that will change our culture, change a few lives, change a million lives. I believe that most of the time when you and I create something brand new, that later 10, 5, 20, 30 years later, we look back and go, that was really important. What I did, what I said to that kid changed that kid's life. What I did in that classroom changed those kids' life. What I did in my job, that one adjustment on that machine changed the way labor dealt with that machine in the factory. But I think most of the time, unless you're playing the Super Bowl or the World Series, I think most of the time when you're involved with anything that ultimately changes the course of history, that changes lives, you have no idea. I told you the story about the fact that when I was in high school, I was on the original Ultimate Frisbee team. I was on the original Ultimate Frisbee team, and then I went to college. And when we all went to college, we thought people would be done playing Frisbee. Now it's an international industry. They're saying that they want it as an Olympic sport. They're organized teams. They're factories that make special sneakers just for playing Frisbee. We were just cutting gym. We were just cutting gym. And one of the guys was a smartass and wrote down rules. And all of a sudden, those rules are now published in millions of copies. But no, we were just cutting gym. And often, when you're involved with something important and significant and culture-changing, you don't even know it. Cousin Bruce Morrow, this is a fact, and consider the fact that I used to wear wingtip shoes and Brooks Brothers suits, so I know what I'm talking about. Consider the fact that Cousin Bruce Morrow has had more people listen to him on the radio than any other human being in history. That's a fact. I can prove that to you. More people have heard Cousin Bruce Morrow on the radio than any other human in history. Is that a lot of pressure for you, Bruce?
I'm sitting here, I'm sort of getting speechless here. You're scaring me.
Is your wife aroused by that fact, Bruce?
Yes. That's, you know, it's funny. You realize this when you have a career like this all these years, but you never really address it, Walter. And you never think about it, you just do it. So when you hear something like Walter Sterling say that to you, I'm listening very intently, it gets kind of scary. What have I done?
Now, this week, there was another important piece of history that you had a lot to do with, which is the fact that it is worldwide news that Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney played together on the same stage at the same time this week in Los Angeles. And a lot of the reason that we know who the Beatles are is because you and a handful of colleagues, not a million colleagues, not a thousand other disc jockeys, about 50 other disc jockeys, brought them to America and played them. When you interviewed the Beatles, you knew it was a big deal at that moment. Did you feel this would have a reverberation, forgive me, reverberation throughout our culture forever? You know what we're going to have to do? You know what we're going to have to do? Bruce, we're going to have to ask you to call back because we have the worst connection since Marconi. So please forgive me. Please call us right back and we'll start the conversation again. Tonight.
I'll move to another area.
All right, you move to another area, preferably one with wires. And you and I are talking to Bruce Morrow. Now, Bruce Morrow was one of the original people on the radio to play rock and roll. When Bruce played rock and roll in the 1950s for the first time in Miami and New York City, this was dangerous and risky. And he also was the first to play it in Bermuda, which was particularly dangerous and risky because he got white kids and black kids to dance together. And the story of him playing that music in Bermuda, in fact, made history to this day in Bermuda, to this day. And then he brought the Beatles to New York City, which was like bringing them to America. But I want to know from Bruce Morrow, the most listened to disc jockey in the history of radio, fact, I want to know if he realized at the time the cultural impact that rock and roll would have and the Beatles would have. But first, ladies and gentlemen, at 13 past the hour, it's boner time. And that means I have a great gift for you, which is the thing you've wanted for years now, but you're too cheap to pay for, which is boner medicine. You get it at 4hymns.com. I love 4hymns.com. 4hymns.com/Walter. FORHIMS.com/Walter. 4hymns.com/Walter. I know how cheap you are, and I know you don't want to go to the doctor. I know you don't want to ask for a prescription for boner medicine, but keep hearing what I'm saying. It's medicine. This is not a social issue if you're having trouble getting a boner. This is a medical condition that all men over 30 have at one time or another. It's not because your wife has bad perfume or she isn't going to the gym or your boyfriend on the road is too busy for you. It's because you're over 30. That's it. It's a medical condition. Teens have acne, you have trouble getting a boner. Go to 4hymns.com and for a month, for $5, they'll get you started for $5 while supplies last. You get free boner medicine. Just subscribe to 4hymns.com/Walter for $5. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost you hundreds of dollars if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hymns.com/Walter, FORHIMS.com/Walter. Sterling on Sunday with Bruce Morrow in seconds.
Sabotage. Stolen gold. The curse of Civil War gold update. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Find out what a 39-year-old Florida man does with his teenage daughter that gets them both arrested. Yes, it's the grossest thing you can possibly think of. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
It's your turn to drive through the drive-through brew. Sterling on Sunday. Take a number.
All right, Sterling on Sunday, Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's 20 past the hour, 20 past the hour on giant radio stations like KMOX, KFBK, WSB, KMBZ. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You and I tonight are talking to the man who has been heard by more people on the radio than any other human being. I guarantee you that's true. First of all, he was with Marconi in Marconi's lab inventing the radio set, and then that was piped through their house in the local parks, and it grew from there. Now, Bruce Morrow is not only a dear friend of mine and a continuous source of inspiration to me, but he is, in fact, a man who changed our culture. because he was one of the first, I don't know, 40 or 50 disc jockeys in the world to bring the world rock and roll. And one of the things I've always been fascinated by was when you and I are in new situations and something brand new gets invented or something significantly gets changed, you realize 5, 10, 30 years later, oh my gosh, I was there when this was conceived. We had no idea it was a big deal. When you started rock and roll in Bermuda and Miami and New York City, when you started to play rock and roll on the radio, did you have a feeling that this would change our culture?
Absolutely. You know, Walter, I wish I could say yes to you, but I'd be fibbing. I had absolutely no idea. I can't say I was a genius kid, right? All I was doing, Walter, was doing something that I loved very much. You know, I think you know each other. We know each other a long time. And you know I wanted to be a doctor. All my life I wanted to be a doctor. Until one day I was looking at a little tiny radio and a little voice came. I was a kid. And a voice came out and announced about President Roosevelt passing away. And I was watching my mother and all of her very strong Brooklyn friends crying. And I realized at that time that this little man in this radio, this magic, this little guy's voice had this power. I wanted to see what it had, you know, what it had in it. So I played radio. Most people play doctor. I played radio for the next several years. And I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the medium. And I'm in love that romance continues to this day. But to answer that question, no. Absolutely not. I had no idea of what we were doing. You know, it was so early in our adventures together, Walter, right? That we were experimenting. And what was nice about those days on the air, and you and I were together a lot of those days, that we were allowed to make mistakes and to experiment and to try something. And if it wasn't good, we'd fix it and try another thing and fix it again. And everybody understood what we were doing. Then, of course, things changed. The experimentation became so important and so good. We were reaching, all of a sudden, millions and millions of people, influencing their lives. That, well, first of all, I realized then that there was a terrible responsibility that we have created something that has never been created before by any mass media. And we had to really pull back and look what we were doing. And the business guys came in and changed the whole thing around. The experimentation days were over. Now the radio business became the business of radio.
Cousin Bruce Morrow, you and I are talking to Cousin Bruce Morrow. If you have questions for Bruce, my number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. But you did not grow up the way the rest of us did, hearing rock and roll on the radio. You grew up hearing big bands on the radio. You grew up hearing Patti Page on the radio. What was the first moment? Do you remember the first moment you heard a rock and roll record and said, I have to have something to do with that?
Yep, very, very vividly. First of all, I didn't grow up with Patti Page and those people. My parents did. I was a guy that used to come home every day and listen to what they call the serials, Walter. I listened to Hop Harrigan. I listened to Superman. I listened to all those kind of things that you had to, you know, it would leave you on a cliffhanger. But the very first time I heard rock and roll and I knew I had to have a piece of it was with a guy named Alan Freed. Came out of Cleveland. He was called in those days Moondog. And that we can have a whole discussion about too. That's a fun story behind that. And I was listening to this man growing up. I must have been, I don't know, maybe 13 or 14 at the time. And it was the very first time that I heard somebody sound that I on the radio that I could identify with and sound like this new music. And we grew up with what they called, unfortunately, race music. And we all were listening to that. And race music was a black artist. And if you went into a record store in those days, when they had record stores, people would actually buy the little records of black shellac with a hole in the middle. In a little section in the back, they'd have a section called race music. And this was the music, really, that was going to start this revolution, Walter. They didn't know it. They put this stuff in the back, this black shellac in the back. And this was the thing that really started it. I heard those great songs years and years earlier, like by the Drifters, go back even at Ink Spots and Mills Brothers, and people had really started to sound a little different using the human voice rather than relying upon 3,000 computers and fireworks and explosions. They were using God's most beautiful instrument called the human voice. And I heard this sound, I heard the beat, the cacophony, and the music, and I knew that I had to have a piece of this. So I gave up my very lucrative career on East 26th Street in VNW as a gynecologist.
Now, what's hard for my daughters to believe today is the fact that when people went on the radio and played black records, this was not universally loved and embraced.
No.
And people like you who played black music for the first time in places like Florida and Bermuda were not welcomed into the country club. Could you please tell us the Bermuda story, which is my favorite Bruce Morrow story?
Yeah, that was almost a 20th Century Fox movie in my first book, by the way. I got to Bermuda very young. I graduated from New York University, where I founded the radio station there. I'm very proud of that, Walter. So I always sort of like to mention that medal that I have. I
gave
myself a medal. And we sent out, in those days, we sent out demo reels. People, it was, you know, on recorded tape. Tape was like, I don't know, half inch thick, and you put it on a 5-inch reel. And the demo tape would have about 4 minutes of what you have to offer. I do a commercial, I'd lead into a record, I'd read a little news, right? And you hope that within the first 20 seconds, a program director who would play these demo tapes would sort of be instant enough to listen to the next 3 minutes. So I sent out about 8 of these, Walt, and out of the 8, 5 came back telling me to go in my father's business. Not so nicely, but they told me just about go my father's business. 2 of them came back very positive. 1 I never heard from. But 1 came back immediately, and it was from a place in... See, I've always wanted to go and live in a warm climate. I still do deep down, right? Even though I live in New York, which I love very much, my dream is to have my own little island somewhere. So it came back from Florida, from Panama City, Florida. Well, there was a radio station, a small radio station there, and the owner called me, and I got so scared, Walt, that I called my father on the phone, Abe, because I never really went for a job before. I didn't know what was involved or how to negotiate, so I had my father on the other phone, and I was scared stiff because somebody was offering me a job. What was I going to do with that? Where was I going to go? I had to leave home. What about my mother's cooking? I was scared stiff. So my father started asking questions, what are his duties? And he says, Mr. Morrow, this is exactly what happened. Let me tell you first, we were offering your son $85 a week. Now, in those days, that sounds like a little bit of money, but it was okay. It was okay. If my father subsidized my living expenses and maybe a car, I'd be able to maybe eat maybe once a day. So he then asked, well, what are his duties for this $85? My dad being a very smart street guy. And the man on the phone who owned the radio station said, well, he was very hesitant. And he said, well, he'll work half of his day in one of our businesses, the radio station, then the other half of the day he'll work in the other business. So my father hesitates. I'm scared stiff. I'm shaking because someone's giving me a job. And my father said, well, what does this mean? He said, well, the first 4 hours, he'll be on the radio and then go out the last 2 hours. I was going to be a two-hour shift every day, 7 days a week, and then you go out and sell time. And then my dad very astutely said, and what's the other business? He says, well, sir, we own a car wash.
All right. Now, Bruce, this is a great story. Now, stand by. I want to hear the conclusion of this amazing story of you going to Bermuda and what happened at Bermuda. It was surreal what happened. But if you have questions for Bruce Morrow, here's your number. It's 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. You and I are talking to Bruce Morrow, Cousin Bruce Morrow, the man who brought the Beatles to New York City, the man who has been heard by more people on the radio than any other human being. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. From this unique position, now 32 hours after landfall, how did we do with Barry? If you're not living along the central Gulf Coast, you have no idea, except for a lot of TV hype. Those in Louisiana and Mississippi know Barry was all about flooding. Now, Barry's storm track was a little farther west than was advertised, and it did move very slowly, as expected. The extreme rainfall was not as widespread as expected, but we did breach 7 levees, none in New Orleans or Baton Rouge. We also got wrong how much storm surge would add to the river flooding. Turns out, not that much at all, which is very good. But we need to also say Barry's not done. Even downgraded again and soon to become a remnant low, Barry's heavy rains will cover the same lower Mississippi Valley for one more day. Any business plans to New Orleans, you'll be fine. In fact, it will be draining the watershed that we're concerned about, all that heavy rain working its way south on the Mississippi. And that's when we'll start to worry about river flooding later in the week. And anything else in the tropics out there? No, thank goodness. But the hurricane season is just getting started. An update on your forecast, that's coming up in 20 minutes. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Velo Houle of Muskegon, Michigan. Sabotage. Stolen gold. The curse of Civil War gold update. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Find out what a 39-year-old Florida man does with his teenage daughter that gets them both arrested. Yes, it's the grossest thing you can possibly think of. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
It's your turn to drive through the drive-through brew. Sterling on Sunday. Take a number.
This music, pop music, is the greatest force in our nation, I think, in the world today. This is what the people want to hear. A lot of people are against it. But I think this is the most dynamic form of entertainment that has ever, ever happened.
Live on a Sunday night, Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday with cousin Bruce Murrow, the man who has had more radio listeners than any other human being in history. Bruce Murrow is with you and me tonight. You can ask him questions at 888-688-WALT. Bruce Murrow was telling us about one of his first radio jobs in the 1950s, where he was recruited to work in Bermuda. The story and what happened in Bermuda is earth-shattering. It's a remarkable story. Bruce, share with us what happened once you got to Bermuda.
So of course, we turned down the car wash job. Didn't yes. interest me too much. And then the next call came from a man named Walter Staskow. Never forget him. He was in Bermuda, and he offered me a job to come out in Bermuda. Now, you know, being a young kid, I was never really away from home. And the idea of Bermuda was so romantic. And I had to sign a year contract with him, and I accepted it. And my dad and mom took me to the airport. We kissed goodbye, went on my Pan Am flight, and in 40-some-odd minutes later, I was in Bermuda. And I spent the most amazing time of my life, probably to this day, on that island. You know, growing up in New York and growing up in the United States, we don't really face prejudice right in your backyard, right in your face, too often. So I did a show. I did all kinds of shows. I did news. I did football, or soccer, they called it. I did church reports and all kinds of things. I really got my feet wet, my basic training in Bermuda on radio station ZBM. Matter of fact, I tell you, Walter, to this day, I have people who listen to me there. You know, I'm on Sirius XM satellite radio, so I reach all over the world, more or less. And so to this day, I still have people who remember Cousin Brucey there. So I brought rock and roll to the island, which was pretty quiet. We had some calypso stuff, but every week I did a show called Search Party, and that's where my troubles began. And not with the music so much, because you know, the music was spreading and people were very anxious to hear American rock and roll. But I had this thing called Search Party where I invited listeners to come up, and it was like a precursor of television dance parties. And they danced together. Now, I didn't know about some of the mores and some of the no-nos at that time in Bermuda. That's, by the way, Bermuda has changed quite a bit. It's no longer that, what I'm going to tell you about. So we had kids, black kids and white kids, dancing together. Well, this caused quite a furor and got me in quite a bit of trouble. Matter of fact, it got so bad that I used to receive threatening letters. Can you imagine Cousin Brucey getting threatened? And I used to get calls from people telling me to be careful walking home tonight. I lived about three or four streets from the radio station in Hamilton, Bermuda, and that was another story that I got involved with, which I to this day cannot believe. So I used to get these threatening things saying, you can't have people dancing together, can't have colored people dancing with white people, etc. And I hate to tell you some of the language. Well, it got so bad, Walter, that the threats, and one day a principal of the high school called me and threatened me, and that it had to stop. I was ruining things, and I was going to get in trouble. I used to walk home, Walt, with a lead pipe in my my pocket. You know, I was going to say, a Brooklyn kid growing up in Brooklyn, I don't take the threats too easily, although I was kind of scared, I must say. Every time a palm tree would sway in the moonlight, I'd jump a cotton mile. And so I used to walk home. Got so bad, I had one of the station people walk with me because I didn't know what was going to happen. And they continued for quite some time. I exacerbated things, of course, because I hate being threatened, as you do. It's any American would hate to be threatened, and you won't take it. So one day, a black church somewhere out in outside of Hamilton burnt down. And they called me, you know, being on the radio, people call us all the time for help. And I decided to help this church rebuild. So I held this huge record hop in a very big warehouse in Hamilton Harbor. And we raised thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars. And we helped rebuild that church. About a week or so later, I was invited to leave Bermuda. And I left Bermuda with a...
How did they invite you to leave? How did that happen?
Well, let's put it this way. The radio station owner came up to me and evidently sent some letters. And I received the letter. And I don't really, you know, have any of that anymore because it was so horrible. I got rid of all that stuff.
Of course.
And he said to me, you're no longer, you know, that your visa or your work permit, I think it was, is up. And you have till next Tuesday to leave.
So they yanked your visa. They yanked your work permit. They were not going to extend it because you got white kids and black kids dancing together.
Yeah, exactly. And in those days in Bermuda, by the way, I must reiterate, this is important. Because I don't want to give them black eye. Bermuda, the government has changed.
Oh,
there are people of every persuasion
yes.
in the government today.
Well, I got to tell you, Bermuda is my favorite place in the world. So, yes, I can confirm it's not like that at all. And
No. What
people don't realize is it's really close to New York and the East Coast. It's not in the Caribbean. And the other thing about Bermuda that I love, and I think you'll appreciate the poetry of what I'm about to tell you, when I go on vacation in Bermuda, I used to be able to listen to you from New York in Bermuda, and I realized the poetry of that moment. You and I are talking to Bruce Morrow, Cousin Bruce Morrow, the man who's had more listeners than anybody else. And coming up in just seconds, I want to ask Bruce what his thoughts and feelings were when he saw Ringo Starr and Sir Paul McCartney performing together again this week. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. And you know what time it is, ladies and gentlemen? It's boner time. And that means that you no longer have to have the problem of having trouble getting a boner because it's what? A medical condition. And how do we solve medical conditions? We talk to a doctor. It's not a social issue. It doesn't mean that your significant other doesn't like you or your wife doesn't like you. It means that, hey, guess what? You're over 30, and it that's all there is to it. You can get medicine for this. You get it at forhims.com/Walter, forhims.com/Walter. Now, you know that this medicine costs a lot of money. You've heard about the little blue pill. You know it costs a lot of money. I got it for you for free. You get in touch with forhims.com/Walter. They will put you in touch with a real doctor because it's a medical condition. You will get a real prescription, and they will send you the boner medicine wherever you want, to your home, to the secret UPS box that you have, someplace on the road, maybe a secret hotel you go to, whatever it is. They will send it wherever you want, discreet, nice packaging, no trouble. Get all the information and get boner medicine for free. Try 4HIMS for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for $5 a month while supplies last. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or the pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/Walter, forhims.com/Walter. More with Cousin Bruce Morrow in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Pop music is the greatest force in our nation, I think, in the world today. This is what the people want to hear. A lot of people are against it. But I think this is the most dynamic form of entertainment that has ever, ever happened.
Cousin Bruce Morrow, the most listened to voice of anybody who ever lived. No, really. And the man who brought the Beatles to New York City. David in Florida, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Good evening, David. Hi.
Hi there. Hi, Cousin Brucey. I'm 72. 65 through 67, I was in Daytona Beach, Florida, and you've got a clear 50,000-watt channel, I believe, with WABC?
Right, that's correct, David.
And I listen to you at night down there going to school on my little AM radio and my little 65 Chevrolet Corvair. And wonderful talking to you. I was with a friend of mine in Miami one day at a record store with millions of records, and I'm standing here at the counter, and I asked the guy across, do you have Popsicles, Icicles by the Mermaids? And this guy standing next to me, he says, oh, is this the record you want? You know, 45 RPM. I couldn't believe it. So I collected a lot of 45s through the years. I was wondering, I'm 72 now. How old are you now?
Pardon me?
How old are you? I'm 72.
I'm old enough to know not to ask.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, you know, very honestly, today there's no secrets. There's no secrets.
Okay. But anyway, real quick, when I was listening to you a long time ago, you had a blackout in New York City?
I was 30 years old. I stopped counting.
Okay. Real quick, in New York City, were you working the night they had the big blackout in around 65? How did you handle that?
Well, now you're talking about the blackout of 77 or the one we had last night?
Oh, no, 70, it was 77 you had a blackout?
Yeah, about 43 years ago, 1977, that's when everything went out in New York City. And I was on the air, and I tell you, they're kind of interesting. We stayed on the air, we didn't have any emergency generators. We stayed on the air, and they the engineers jury-rigged a whole series of car batteries up to the control room, which kept some of the lights on. It kept our console on. Got the signal out. The telephones were working, but it got we used cartridges in those days. And every once in a while, you'd hear the cartridge say, you know, something like, "I want to hold your hand." It would go completely down because the electrical charge was not holding. But I was there, and then it went out on the street, David, and we had a little mobile unit, and I was able to. I would talk to people on the street, and the most wonderful thing happened. I realized in that night that it takes a horrific, terrible tragedy, a tough thing to happen that brings people together. Where the human element comes about, David, but we get in trouble with each other, and we need each other's help. So that night I realized that people are there, people really innately are good, right? It just takes a little bit of Christmas to make it work. And I've always said all my life, why can't we have every day like Christmas? But yep, I was out there that night, and I'll never forget it. It was quite a night. I learned about human nature that night.
Bob in New York, welcome to Sterling on Sunday with Bruce Morrow at 888-688-WALT. Hello, Bob.
Hello, guys, and good to you again, Walter. And Cousin Brucey, I grew up with you, baby.
Thank you very much, Cousin Bob.
Yeah, a Brooklynite as well. I know you had a great career, especially over at all the big New York stations. Wins 1010, do you remember that one? A short gig there?
Yep, maybe I'll give you something that'll you remember. Ready? 1010 Wins New York, bong, chime time.
Remember that?
Oh, I remember 10-10 wins. Also remember you on ABC. ABC was your big gig, and then what'd you do? You went NBC and CBS, right?
NBC, then CBS. And now my life is on a satellite. I've been with...
Right, and that's my question. That's why I'm calling, Cousin Brucey. How'd you get into the serious business?
Well, I'll tell you very honestly. You know the guy I'm talking to right now?
Right.
What's the guy's name? Walter something?
Yes, Walter something, yes. And by the way, this is not a rigged call, Bruce. This is not a rigged call.
Matter of fact, kind of interesting, Walter. I was going to mention this before we said adieu tonight. Because of Walter, Walter grabbed me very quickly when CBS had to change their format. I was on CBS FM for many years. And Walter got the people over at Sirius, and at that time it was just Sirius, it wasn't Sirius XM. They grabbed me. I was out of work for, I think, 4 days. And thanks to Walter Sterling, they offered me a contract. And what Mel Karmazin, who was the boss over there at that time, said, Brucey, and Walter looked at him with a big grin, this will be your last contract you'll ever need. So thanks to Mr. Sterling, I'm still doing it.
Well,
I'm on, and I just, Walter, this will be interesting for you and Bob. I just signed my new contract 2 days ago.
Now, when you called and told me that they made the mistake of the century and changed the format of CBS FM from oldies to unfamiliar, they changed it to the popular unfamiliar music format. When you called, what I said to you was, Bruce, you're going to come over here, and you're not leaving until you sign a contract. Is that what I said?
That's exactly what you said.
It was one of
the... It was really wonderful, Walter. You know, I'll tell you, you want to hear a funny story? We have time?
Yes.
When CBS FM pulled the plug, we were doing a show in the morning at a very large New York venue. I had Mickey Dolenz, and we were celebrating the morning show. And while we were at the morning show on the air live, unbeknownst to us, the executives and junior executives at CBS FM were ripping out all the papers, all of the recordings, everything that had to do with the old CBS FM, which was one of the most successful stations
ever
in New York history.
Ever.
And yeah, so we're there, and unbeknownst to us, I got home, and I was told that I didn't have to come in that night, that they changed the format. That day, it hit the New York press so hard that outside of my apartment, my building in New York City, all these TV mobile units came with the cables, came to my apartment. Jody was not in, my wife Jody was not in the apartment at that time. She was away. And all these TV cameras and things came into our apartment, and these big trucks. Jody came home and thought that maybe I had died. I was assassinated. Something bad happened.
Something bad did happen. Now, listen, there's my wife is fond of saying no radio stories end well. And they tend to not end well, but yours ends great because in addition to being a very successful on-air star, you also are the rarest of all people. You're an on-air star who is an incredibly successful entrepreneur as a radio and television station owner. And there are things about Bruce Morrow that most people don't realize. Gee, for a while you owned a piece of Graceland. You own a piece of the producers, the Broadway show. What did you learn about business that surprised you that has been helpful to you in everything? Share with us one or two of the insights you have about being a successful businessman. What did you learn running the business?
The first thing, Walter, is to keep your ears and eyes open and accept anybody's suggestion. Listen, I learned a long time ago to listen to people because that's how you really learn. And by listening, you become very smart. I wish I could say I was smart enough, but I had a very smart partner. His name was Bob Silliman, and Bob was quite successful.
Well, he's a great man. You and I are talking to Bruce Morrow. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby. Very wet tonight in the lower Mississippi Valley from Barrie. Excessive heat warning in Phoenix. 113 tomorrow, 114 on Tuesday. Severe thunderstorm watch in Minnesota back across Montana. That's along a stalled front. And ahead of that front, heat advisory for the Dakotas with heat indices above the danger level at 105. That's a rarity in that part of the world. And as a result of Barrie, a new heat wave will develop this week over the central and eastern states. Well, what's your forecast for tomorrow? Heat and humidity. And if there's rain, it's probably from Barry or part of that stalled front up north that'll try to drift southward. More severe weather expected. Barry gets ready to turn right this week into the Ohio and Tennessee Valley, later through Pennsylvania, Cape Cod by Friday. Merely a shadow of itself by then, of course. No, typical late-day thunderstorms apart from Barry, and there's more heat. 90s by Friday for the northeast quarter, triple-digit heat indices, and more heat back to Chicago and Kansas City. It'll even be hotter across the southeast. And more details on Barry and his impact on your forecast in 20 minutes. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, Sterling on Sunday.
It's your turn to drive through the drive-through brew, Sterling on Sunday. Take a number.
Find out what a 39-year-old Florida man does with his teenage daughter that gets them both arrested. Yes, it's the grossest thing you can possibly think of. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Sabotage. Stolen gold. The curse of Civil War gold update. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, this is Gary O'Dell. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday, gender road rage. Yes, I participate in it. It is wrong. How do I stop? And is it wrong to spend a buck on a gift and make it appear as though you spend a lot more? Later tonight, I'll tell you how to do it. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Bad College Radio.
Hey, it's Craig Clifton on the Snake Radio here on 89.3. It's 11:59 here, and certainly time for another song. What a weekend I had with the big Sonic Youth concert. I had so much fun, and you know, Carrie and her friend, her boyfriend, he was there. Yeah, so it's good, and you know, you're listening to 89.3 The Snake, and I'd really like to play a song for you here. Well, it's actually playing right now, so we'll go ahead. And this is Josh. Josh is my roommate, and as you know, he's really likes the Violet Femmes. So I thought that we might go ahead and take a listen here to them. And, but yeah, I know that, we have to do the thing at the top of the hour here. So anyway, we might have to go ahead and do that, but I will be back next Sunday. So, if you do want to tune in then, but I won't be in, I'm not going to be in this next Sunday because, I'm not going to be here, but Josh is going to be here. So he's gonna join us then, I think. So because I'm not gonna be here, I'm visiting my aunt. So anyway, this is Josh here on The Snake. It's 89.3, and I look forward to seeing you here again next week, because I'm Craig, and so Josh is gonna be here next week. So anyway, this is Craig, and I'm gonna go ahead and I think sign off here, because they said that I have to do that thing. That log is it's going to be at the top of the hour here, and you're listening to it'll say it here in a bit. So anyway, we'll see you later. Have a good weekend.
College Radio.
All right, coming up in just seconds, we are live in New York City. No, really, I'm not in my laundry room tonight. I am live in New York City. Live in New York City. And Gary Arnell is not going to be on the phone. Gary Arnell is going to be live in the Sterling on Sunday studio suite in New York City at, you ready? This is a little exciting for you radio losers. The CBS Broadcast Center. Marco with Tinfoil, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Marco.
Hello, can you hear me?
Marco, I can always hear you. I hear you in my head. I hear you in the shower. I hear you when I think of the worst case scenario of doing a network radio show. Marco.
Dude, you make me laugh so much.
every Monday morning, I got to wake up and go to the hospital because my rib cage is so cracked up from laughing. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Now, Marco, would you like to take a guess as to the mystery voice? Matt, I cannot fire these MP3s tonight. I need a professional such as yourself, Matt. Let's listen to the mystery voice. Everybody who calls in tonight gets a chance to guess the mystery voice and win a prize announcement.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
888-688-WALT. Who do you think that is? I'm live, and that means you can win a prize announcement. Gary Arnell is in the studio with me, and he will be on coming up in just seconds with his live dilemmas. Plus, I have a proposal for Gary and for you to help us out collectively. And then, when we're done in New York City, in Manhattan, doing the show, we're going to go to Chinatown and eat dinner. Now, why is that significant? Because in most parts of the country, everything closes at 8 p.m. Whereas in New York City, you can actually get real Chinese food, not bourbon chicken, but real Chinese food at any time of day. And as I hesitate, and the reason why I'm halting, it's not for dramatic effect or because of Alzheimer's, I'm halting because I'm thinking maybe we should invite a listener to go with us. Now, that's a risky business at 2 in the morning in New York City on a Sunday night, because who would be available? It's not a married guy. It's not a married woman. It's not people with children. Therefore, it's people who we should just be afraid of. There was the blackout in New York City. And it seems I have spent my whole life being at every blackout in New York City. The blackout was in New York City last night. It took about from 30th Street to 78th Street on the west side, and it was all blacked out. Now, when the lights go out in New York City, that's very different than when lights go out in a nice suburban community like Shaker Heights, Ohio, or even where Gary lives in New Jersey, because they say, 70,000 Con Ed customers were without power. Well, that doesn't mean 70,000 homes. That means 70,000 customers, office buildings, hotels, Madison Square Garden. The lights went out during a Jennifer Lopez concert. Think of the risks involved in that. Ticking off a Jennifer Lopez concert. Just ticking her off would be risky enough because she could bring her boyfriend around. That would not go well. But in the culture of New York City, it is fabled. The stories about what happens during a blackout are pretty significant stories. Let me share with you a story. This is an amazing story. Let me describe the scenes to you. In 1977, it was 4,000 degrees. Remember, the blackout that happened yesterday was the same date that it happened in 1977 in New York City, except the difference was that the entire Northeast went out in 1977. Most of the Northeast went out from upstate New York, further south to Jersey, most of New England because of a power grid problem in Canada. And relay after relay after relay went down like bad Christmas tree lights. It went down over and over and over again. It was a remarkable event in 1977. But what I was doing in 1977 during the blackout in many ways took precedent over what happened to the entire Northeast. And I will share that for you in just seconds. But first, I'm going to solve the biggest problem you have if you're a well-endowed man. If you're a well-endowed man, you need extra help. In fact, if you go to forhims.com/Walter, you're practically admitting that you're a well-endowed guy. It's a radio fact. And people who are well-endowed, men who are well-endowed, I don't know about women, but men who are well-endowed, to get an erection, you need more help. You go to forhims.com/Walter. I love forhims.com/Walter. What do you get there? A wide variety of great products for guys. Creams, baldness medicine, terrific environment for men. It's just guy products. They smell great, they look great, they're well packaged, but the thing you and I care about most is after you're 30, sometimes you have trouble getting an erection. This could be a combination of having eaten too much at dinner or just it's that time of year. FORHIMS.com/Walter. FORHIMS.com/Walter. I worked out a deal with them where you can get boner medicine for free. Now, you know, this used to cost $400 or $500 for a prescription for boner medicine. Now you can get it for free. All you have to do is subscribe to FORHIMS.com/Walter for $5 a month. $5 a month. And they will give you a free prescription from a doctor for boner medicine. FORHIMS.com/Walter. FORHIMS.com/Walter. Go to the website, get all the information, find out about the offer. Oh my gosh, I'm going to tell you about the secrets of the 1977 blackout. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Find out what a 39-year-old Florida man does with his teenage daughter that gets them both arrested. Yes, it's the grossest thing you can possibly think of. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
I'm Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Sabotage. Stolen gold. The curse of Civil War gold update. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
And this is Gary O'Dell in studio with Dr. Sterling tonight. Something happened to me as I was driving in here tonight, and I have been in a repeated performance with the way I reacted to it. There's an inner conflict going on. I really need your help with this. That's coming up later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm speechless. All right, now, in 1977, there was a blackout in New York City, and it was throughout the Northeast. It was far more profound than what happened last night in New York, which was just in the Upper West Side, and that was plenty, but this was the entire Northeast, all of New York City, all five boroughs, all of it. 11 million people plunged into darkness. What was I doing? Well, besides the fact that it is shocking that I was old enough to be doing anything, I will share with you what I was doing. You got to see this. In radio, there are multiple unions at the big companies. And at the time, I worked at ABC. And they had IBEW, which was the sound engineers union, the people who mix the sound. There was the Directors Guild. There was AFTRA for the announcers. This was at the ABC Radio Network. The ABC Radio Network at the time was the largest radio company in the world. This was long before iHeart or Clear Channel or Cumulus or Uncle Moe's. It was the ABC Radio Network. And the ABC Radio Network at the time had four services. They fed four newscasts every hour that were heard on almost every radio station in America. About 5,000 radio stations were affiliates to the ABC radio network at the time. And guess what? At that moment in time, in 1977, the sound engineers went on strike because they were under the master agreement with television. There was some trouble, so they all went out on strike. Now, this was a gold mine for guys like me. I was an executive. I wore pinstripe suits and wingtip shoes, and I stood in front of the room and I made presentations, and people thought I was very smart and a little precocious and kind of an a-hole. So what they would do, since somebody had to run the control board because the announcers weren't going to do it themselves, these were big network news anchors, they were doing it, you know, they were big guys, they needed sound engineers. They said to guys like me in the wingtip shoes, go and run the control boards. Run the board for the ABC radio network. Run the sound mixer for the ABC radio network. Do that, and we'll give you a ton of money. And they did. I never got paid better in my life than when I was a sound engineer for the ABC radio network, and I was an executive. It's about 9:30 in 1977 on this sweltering July night. It was 95 degrees at 9:30 at night. And it was the night that Elvis had passed away. and it was the night of Manhattan Stonehenge. So there were a lot of influences taking place at this time. And I was on the control board. I was the sound engineer, and the ABC Radio Network newscast was on the air. And it was a very big voice guy. And I had to push the buttons and make sure that the sound he wanted, the reporters in the field on the tape, were on the air. Now, I hit one of these buttons, and this is what we heard. It was dying on the air. The audio I had pushed to go on the air, a report from a reporter in the field, a very serious ABC reporter, it sounded like that. Now, because I was a wingtip shoes guy and not a sound engineer, I thought it was me. And then the lights started to flicker, and all the lights on the control board started to flicker, and I thought it was me, that I had made a mistake. And everybody looked at me. The Directors Guild director and the AFTRA announcer looked at me, the union scab, and they thought it was me too. Well, it wasn't me. The power went out. The power went out throughout the Northeast. But this was the ABC radio network, so they must have a backup generator, right? Well, they did, sort of. I had always noticed that in the bottom of the molding in these old radio studios, there was a red wire. I was always curious about the red wire. The chief engineer from the ABC radio network comes running in, and all the lights are out. The emergency lights are on, but that was it. And flashlights were getting turned on quickly. There was a red wire in every studio, and I'm like, what the heck is this? This guy starts going underneath the control board, and I thought he was going to goose me. But he went under the control board, and he starts unplugging all of the equipment. And he immediately started to plug it into this red wire. It turns out this red wire was attached to the emergency generator of the ABC radio network. Now, all the power had gone out. No one really knew the scope of this. Even though we were in a newsroom, we really didn't know the scope of it because our wire machines went down. There was nothing to power the wire machines. There were no computers. There were no laptops. But this guy, who was about 400 pounds, was plugging in all of this equipment to these red wires. And he said, this is attached to the emergency generators. I'm like, oh my God, that's so cool. He says, well, not quite. This red wire is attached to the emergency generator, which is on the roof of the building in Manhattan, six stories up, 400 degrees. Well, thanks to New York City fire laws, they could have a gasoline emergency generator on the roof of the ABC radio networks in the blackout. But there was no gasoline in the emergency generator. It is illegal to store gasoline on the roof of a building in New York City. They had the emergency generator on the roof, but they didn't have any gasoline for the emergency generator. How they solved this problem is an unbelievable story that I will share with you coming up in just seconds. Plus, we have uncovered the most stunning fact about Bob Ross. Bob Ross, the man who taught you how to paint on public television, what we have uncovered about Bob Ross, none of us can believe. Like, we're still in shock and disbelief. Plus, we're going to have an update for you from the drive-through brew, the beer cave. The beer cave. We have our hidden microphones at the beer cave. All of this and you. I'm Walter M. Sterling, 888-688-WALT. Gary Arnell has a major announcement. Oh, wait, I have to turn on your mic. Yes, Gary Arnell has a major announcement.
I have a major announcement in the fact that Judy from Dallas is with us tonight with her terrible joke.
Hey, Judy. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
We're thrilled to have you here, my friend.
Great. Well, I was wondering, what do you call an obese psychic?
What do you call an obese psychic,
Judy? A fortune teller.
A what?
fortune teller. Fortune teller.
Oh, thank you, Judy. Thank you, Judy, from WBAP in Dallas. Thank you for sharing that incredibly bad joke with us. You know what's great is I tell my kids these terrible Judy jokes, and they call them dad jokes. These are dad jokes. All right. I was a scab during the 1977 blackout. And I was telling you this story about how I was a scab at the 1977 blackout, working as a sound engineer at the ABC freaking radio networks. This was a big deal. The ABC radio networks at the time was the largest radio company in the world. I had about 5,000 affiliates, and therefore everything running through my control board was going out to about 5,000 affiliates. And now the blackout hits. And what I was playing on the air started to sound like this. And I thought it was me because, you know, I was an executive running the control board for a union guy who was on strike in front of the building. I thought this was me, but it wasn't. It was the blackout. All right. Now, because it's the ABC radio networks or any big radio or TV station, I assume they had an emergency generator. And they did have an emergency generator, and here's how it worked. You won't believe how the emergency generator for the ABC radio networks worked. There was a red wire on the floor of every studio and every control room with outlets in it, AC outlets. And what happened was that the engineers, the executive engineers, went under the tables and the desks, and, you know, 400 years of old disc jockey garbage was hiding under there. Bourbon bottles were underneath the control boards. Cigarette butts were everywhere. And they started to unplug the equipment and plug it into this red wire. And now this red wire, it turns out, was connected to an emergency generator on the roof. Six stories up in Manhattan, across from Lincoln Center. Great, now everything's going to work. No, everything was not going to work because it was a gas-powered generator. What does that require? Gasoline. In New York City, the fire laws say you cannot store gasoline on the roof of any building of any height. This is six stories up. It is an emergency generator on the top floor of this building with no gasoline. And we're fueling the 4,000, 5,000 affiliate ABC radio network from this building. And it's 4,000 degrees. And it's six stories up. What the executive engineers did was they went to their cars with one of those red gas, emergency gas tanks, one of those emergency plastic gas tanks, and a siphon. And they started to siphon gasoline out of their cars into this gallon of gas. And they walked it up six flights of stairs in no air conditioning. Now, these were not Olympiads that we're talking about. We're talking about radio executive engineers who ate sandwiches at their desk and Reuben sandwiches at that most of their life. These guys, their idea of moving was to fill out a capital request form, and then they were exhausted. Now they're carrying gallons of gasoline in 400-degree heat to the top of the roof and pouring it into the generator, which may or may not work. They didn't even know if it was going to work. We had no idea. Meanwhile, the network was being fed out of Washington, D.C. That worked. But it's a summer Sunday night. It was a summer night, right, in July. There was one anchor person in Washington, D.C., and four newscasts an hour to four different affiliates in each city. This poor person was doing four newscasts at the end of his shift, until relief came. How did relief come? Well, it turns out there were two anchor people in New York who had pilot licenses. And they went to Teterboro, got on their own private planes, and flew to Washington, D.C. At about 2 in the morning, they finally got there after 9 p.m. And that's how they fed the network. These two guys went down there and fed it out there. But it took them hours to walk the gasoline to the top of the roof at the ABC radio network. And that is how I spent the 1977 blackout, first living in fear that I had caused this to go down, and then counting my money, because, man, never did I get paid better than when I was a scab running a control board at the ABC radio networks. This is Sterling on Sunday. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and I know what you came here for. You came here for James Parker's Florida stories.
From Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. For our first Florida story, we go down to Tampa, where a 49-year-old Florida man has a bit of an addiction issue, decides that he's going to break into the Seminole Heights Baptist Church. He smashes through a window, cuts his back pretty bad while he's climbing through, which sucks for him and it sucks for the church, because then he leaves blood everywhere while he's ransacking the place looking for cash or food or anything. Early in the morning, the pastor shows up with an assistant and they find the man. So the passenger does what any Florida pastor would do. He pulls out his gun and then holds him in custody until police can get there and arrest him. I'm sorry, your pastor's not packing heat on a Thursday? What kind of church do you go to? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Jackson County, where a sheriff's deputy has been arrested and charged with 52 felony crimes, including racketeering, false imprisonment, blah, 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 blah. He was planting drugs on innocent people, and he got caught in a couple of cases, and then someone did a review of all the body cam footage and a bunch of the other arrests, and they found some more. So thanks to some good work by the Tallahassee Democrat and Reason.com. So charges are flying, lawsuits are flying, fake drugs are flying. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Dunedin, a Tampa suburb, where a 37-year-old Florida woman, you'll never believe this, but she's had too much to drink, comes home, and at about 5:45 in the morning on a Friday, she tries to coerce her live-in boyfriend into sexy time. 36-year-old boyfriend's not in the mood, so Florida woman rolls over and sleeps it off. No, just kidding. She goes and grabs the kitchen knife, starts slashing him multiple times around the arm and shoulder. She was arrested. And I'm reading your mind right now, and you're saying, James, this woman has a boyfriend that didn't want to have sex with her. What does she look like? No, guys, no. It's not. It's bad. It's real bad.
Hold my, hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What? For our next Florida story, Pinellas County, where a 26-year-old Florida woman, who, according to her Instagram pictures, is absolutely beautiful. And I don't mean she's an 8 or a 9. I mean she's a 10. She's perfect. Her and a 22-year-old Florida man were arrested when someone brought a video to the attention of law enforcement of the two, fully clothed, mind you, engaged of some sexually suggestive dance that was filmed with a 12-year-old in the room. It doesn't say what it is. No, I haven't seen the video. I can't imagine what it is. But in true Florida fashion, as adorable as this woman is, beware, she was arrested earlier this year after allegedly pointing a 9mm handgun at her previous boyfriend. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to St. Lucie County, where just before noon, on a Wednesday, a 35-year-old Florida woman was seen walking across Juanita Avenue in Fort Pierce. No one's too concerned about the jaywalking as much as they're concerned about the fact that she's only wearing a bra. And I mean, not pants either. So after walking in the street in nothing but a bra, a cop finally gets there, asks her, "What are you doing?" She makes a very generous offer to the cop. He declines. Has to take her into custody, trying to figure out why she's acting so crazy. She mentions to the cop that she was on pills and might be pregnant. Yeah, that got real tragic real quick, didn't it? Reading your mind again, you're wondering, is this woman hot? And the answer is no. You do not want to see this. Trust me, it's probably horrifying. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
And for our last Florida story, I don't even want to do this. You're making me do this, and shame on you. A 39-year-old Florida man and his daughter, 19 years old, have been charged with incest after they were seen having sex in the backyard of a Panama City residence. It's not even their own house. They were at someone else's house about 3 miles away. They decide that they're going to do it in the backyard. Witnesses see them. And Florida takes this serious. This is a felony charge. When the cops separate them and question them individually, dad says, "Oh, this is an isolated incident. We've never done this before. We'll never do this again. I don't know. It's just kind of a one-time thing." They go and ask the daughter the same thing without dad around. She goes, "Oh, no, we do this all the time. I'm going to go throw up now." Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
It's time for Sterling Snaps. Sterling Snaps. I love Sterling Snaps. This is this great experiment that we do where you take a picture of what you're looking at right now. And you email it to me at waltermsterling@gmail. waltermsterling@gmail. Take a picture of what you're looking at. If you're driving, don't be stupid. Pull over to the side. Wait till you're at the Love parking lot. And then take a picture. If you're at work, I really want to see your break room. That's what I really love, is to see break rooms, because it's embarrassing that these great businesses don't give us a proper place to rest. And vending machines that are filled with food instead of empty vending machines. Only at Michael Garay's WLS do they fill the vending machines. I have never seen a vending machine like a WLS. It made me want to go into radio and not do this. 888-688-WALT is my phone number, but my email is waltermsterling@gmail. Take a picture of what you're looking at right now. Send it to me. I post it on Facebook tomorrow. This is Sterling on Sunday, and it's boner time. And that means that you can get a prescription for the medicine you need to get a boner whenever you want, or the extra help you need because you're well endowed. It's a radio fact that if you go to forhims.com/Walter, it means you're well endowed because you need extra help. You go to forhims.com/Walter, and for free, you can get boner medicine. You are put in touch with a real doctor who gives you a real prescription for a real medical condition. This is not a social issue. It's not some failure on your part. What'd you do wrong? You became older than 30. Everybody older than 30 has this problem. It's okay. That's why there's medicine for it, because it's a medical problem. Go to forhims.com/Walter. forhims.com/Walter. And for $5 a month for a subscription to 4HIMS, you can get free boner medicine. Go to the website for all the details about the offer while supplies last. Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Velo Hool of Muskegon, Michigan. Sabotage. Stolen gold. The curse of Civil War gold update. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, this is Gary O'Dell. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday, gender road rage. Yes, I participate in it. It is wrong. How do I stop? And is it wrong to spend a buck on a gift and make it appear as though you spent a lot more? Later tonight, I'll tell you how to do it. Later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
I'm Rachel Goldstein. Shabazz and the state of Oregon is again proving it is correct. Keeping the environment firmly in mind, Oregon has closed all car washes. The water runoff is too risky for the environment. Here's a report from member station Sage and Basil 102.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel, it's good to talk to you. Certainly a pleasure to be with you today. Always good to be here. We appreciate our listener supporters. Our Sage and Basil 102 audience is involved in community outreach. Sage and Basil is not literal. We do not grow herbs. We grow minds. At Public Radio, the focus is on an ever-expanding outreach.
Public radio microphones go everywhere. After months of well-expensed travel, our award-winning reporters found themselves exploring the caves of Borneo in search of new bugs. Far-flung greetings to James Wentworth.
I have caught great bug bites in Borneo. This alone will win me a Bruce Murrow Journalism Award. Here is the natural sound our public radio condenser microphones have captured here in Democrat-mothered Borneo.
The team make camp at the foot of the mountain, while climbing specialist Tim Fogg prepares the equipment. Justine and Steve will spend a day exploring nearby caves for wildlife.
I'm not into furry, cuddly stuff. I'm more into the kind of things that most people hate. If it's slimy, if it's got loads of legs, then I'm happy. And I think there's lots of that sort of stuff around. So for me, this place is paradise.
It is fair to ask, do the caves of Borneo relate to the horrors of our White House? Certainly something to consider. Also worth considering is the urgent need of actor William Devane to sell us gold. William Devane is best remembered for his role 30 years ago playing Democrat John F. Kennedy.
You are a fly fisherman?
Yeah. I'm a fly fisherman and a fly fisherman.
When our country used to flex its muscle with battleships like the USS Iowa, the world would listen. It's time we return to the America I remember.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. It's the freaking OJs, man. What they do,
they smile in your face. Now remember, whenever you get frustrated in life, whenever you get frustrated during the week, just look at this guy and go, it's the freaking OJs, man, and you will feel better. You will instantly feel better when you say, it's the freaking OJs, man. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Remember Bob Ross on public television? Bob Ross used to be this guy who could paint these amazing portraits, these amazing pictures with a big giant paintbrush, the kind you used for house painting. And instantly he made deer and trees and everything. No one knew how he did it, but it was amazing. Well, guess what? First of all, they did an exploration as to whatever happened to all of those paintings. But then it turns out that what Bob Ross was doing on television was even more amazing than we realized. Listen to this.
He did 31 series, each being 13 programs, each having three versions. That's a lot of paintings.
Not many people know that Bob actually completed each painting three times. One before the show, one during the show, and one after the show, which is why there's so many of them.
Bob Ross painted those paintings three times. This is an astonishing revelation. He did one before the show, and then the same painting during the show that you and I saw, and then a third one at the end. We saw three different versions of the same painting. We had no idea. What did he do with the paintings? Listen to what he did. You got that queued up? Listen to what he did.
The first day I took the class with Bob, I was so mesmerized by Bob.
All right, he left them to this woman. He left all of the painting to the woman who introduced him to television for the first time. And to this day, you can't buy one.
Sterling on Sunday weather. I'm GP Meteorologist John Weatherby. Very wet tonight in the lower Mississippi Valley from Barry. Excessive heat warning in Phoenix. 113 tomorrow, 114 on Tuesday. Severe thunderstorm watch in Minnesota back across Montana. That's along a stalled front. And ahead of that front, heat advisory for the Dakotas with heat indices above the danger level at 105. That's a rarity in that part of the world. And as a result of Barry, a new heat wave will develop this week over the central and eastern states. Well, what's your forecast for tomorrow? Heat and humidity. And if there's rain, it's probably from Barry or part of that stalled front up north that'll try to drift southward. More severe weather expected. Barry gets ready to turn right this week into the Ohio and Tennessee Valley, later through Pennsylvania, Cape Cod by Friday. Merely a shadow of itself by then, of course. No, typical late-day thunderstorms apart from Barry, and there's more heat. 90s by Friday for the northeast quarter, triple-digit heat indices, and more heat back to Chicago and Kansas City. It'll even be hotter across the southeast. And more details on Barry and his impact on your forecast in 20 minutes. I'm Chief Meteorologist John Weatherby, Sterling on Sunday.
888-688-WALT, my Midnight Misfits. Hello, hello. There's Judy Anderson, Neil Paul, Karen and Mr. Sneakers. Keith Mortensen, how is that motorcycle ride? I get these great updates from Keith Mortensen, who drives an 18-wheeler, but his hobby, if it isn't enough to be an 18-wheeler, his hobby is he motorcycles across the country. And a great listener and a great friend. Robert Goff, Frankie Reds, welcome. D. Wells, the fabulous D. Wells. Marion Jewel Riley, who has the most beautiful name of anybody who ever lived, welcome. John Kelly, who's in a foreign country, who listens on the stream in a foreign country. And right now, whatever you're doing, stop, pick up that overpriced phone of yours and take a picture of what you're looking at and send it to me. And then I will post it on Facebook tomorrow, And you can all see what everybody was looking at while they were listening to Walter M. Sterling. Send it to Walter M. Sterling at Gmail, and I will send you a picture. I will post a picture of what I'm looking at right now. All right, here's my phone number, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. We are live on a Sunday night, and we are live from New York City, and we have the great privilege of having Gary Arnell in the studio. I hate that phrase that they use on TV, in studio. It doesn't really matter. Gary is our friend. Usually he's on the telephone because his wife won't let him leave the house, but he was a good boy this week, and he has special permission to come to Sterling on Sunday, but he has dilemmas. Now, Gary's going to share with you his dilemmas, and then I'm going to share with you a dilemma I have about Gary. You first, Gary. What is your dilemma? What are your dilemmas?
My first dilemma has been something that has been repeating itself for the past 2 or 3 years. Driving in tonight, I get involved in a road rage issue. Now, here's my dilemma, Walter, and my inner conflict with this. If there is a person who is honking and yelling at me or just cut me off or whatever, and I think that I could physically overtake them, in particular if it is a woman, although there are a lot of women who can kick my butt, but if I think it's a woman, I will respond accordingly. If I think it's somebody who I don't want to tangle with, I will just stay quiet. Now, this is really, I've gone to my shrink, and I brought this to Jaime Glickman's attention, and he wants to give me an extended session because he says it's not right. You either do it for one, or you do it for none, or for all. So that's my first dilemma here tonight.
Well, I don't understand what the dilemma is.
The dilemma is I got to stop myself from doing this.
So you need to know what to say?
No, I need to either do it for all of them, respond to every one of them, even if I feel that if I get trapped, pull over to the side, they can kick my butt, or I just have to just not say anything, not respond to anyone who is verbally abusing me because of road rage that they have committed. I can't have it both ways. It's very hypocritical here. I only will respond to people who I think I physically can not be overtaken by. That's a serious issue. That's a problem.
Say it in English.
All right, in English is, if I think you can beat me up, I'm not going to respond. That's it. That's it in English.
But you wouldn't respond with physical violence.
No. I just mean if somebody flashes something at me, I'll flash. I won't use that high sign, but I will throw my arm in the air, I'll flail, I'll all of that other stuff. But only if I think that I have the power to overtake them if I get stopped at a red light and they're right behind me.
All right. So that's a B-minus dilemma. Another dilemma?
I have another dilemma, and this is another dilemma that also I'm challenged with quite often. About a week ago, a woman that I know, I'm not very fond of her, it's her birthday. And I don't want to spend a lot of money on this woman, but I want her to think that I did. So what I did was, I went to a dollar store. I bought what is known in the business as a little tchotchke for a buck. I then went to my local Lord and Taylor, and I bought a gift box there that was the appropriate size for this dollar tchotchke that I bought in the dollar store. I bought some tissue paper. I wrapped it up in the Lord and Taylor box. I gave her the gift, and I told her, do not attempt to return this even if you don't like it, because it was a rare piece that they had there, and there were no returns for this, because I've got to protect myself just in case in the future she wants to bring it back. So I have a lot of people telling me in my life, that's dishonest, you shouldn't be doing that. She thinks I bought her a great gift, and I spent in total, I think about maybe $2.50. And I don't see anything wrong with that. It just wasn't bothering me. I spent a buck.
What's the dilemma?
The dilemma is, should I continue to do that? Because I am doing it now, and I still do it when I want to impress somebody.
All right, so Do you gift gifts in more expensive boxes than the store? You
That's
go to
it.
Dollar Tree, you find something that looks great, but it only costs a dollar.
Yep.
You go home, in the back of the closet, you have a Saks Fifth Avenue box. Do you put things in the Saks Fifth Avenue box?
Correct.
Is this a moral issue? Yes, I say it is. Are you lying to the world by doing this? Should you continue this behavior of misrepresenting your gifts? Then phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. What should Gary Arnell do? Should he stop lying in his gifting? He's taking stuff from Dollar Tree, our favorite store, and putting it into the Saks Fifth Avenue box, my mother's favorite store, and giving it to people with the delusion, projecting the delusion, like that Star Trek episode, projecting the delusion that it actually came from Saks. Should he stop doing this? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Everybody who calls in tonight will get a chance to guess the mystery voice and win a prize announcement. Matt, what is the mystery voice?
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
You can win a prize announcement if you know who this is. Help Gary Arnell out. Should he continue the fraudulent practice of taking things from Dollar Tree and putting it into Saks Fifth Avenue boxes and then presenting it as though, gee, it's from Saks Fifth Avenue? I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. My phone number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Yes, we are live on a Sunday night. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, home of the WMCA Good Guys.
Chad in Missouri at 888-688-WALT, live on a Sunday night with Walter M. Sterling and Gary Arnell. Gary's dilemma is, should he continue to be a cheapo and go to Dollar Tree and then put the gift into a Saks Fifth Avenue box and give it as though, gee, it was coming from the luxury store? Should he continue with this reprehensible misrepresentation?
Wow.
Hiya, Chad. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi. Hey, Chad.
Hey.
I'm all right. How are you doing?
So what do you think, Chad?
No, because women will always find out the truth. Stop it. Buy the real stuff. If I don't know if he's this is his girlfriend or his wife, but if you got a happy girlfriend or a happy wife, happy life, that's
But Chad, suppose it is a woman that I do not really care for, but I want her to think that despite the fact that I don't care for her personally, wow, this guy went out and bought me this type of gift. Suppose it's somebody I really don't care about.
Then why don't you buy her the gift in the first place?
Chad, would you like to win a prize announcement by guessing this mystery voice?
I'll try it.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
Who do you think that is, Chad?
Man, the only thing that comes to my mind is how I feel in the money pit, but I know that's not right.
888-688-WALT. Greg in Georgia listening on the great WSB, Pete Spriggs radio station. Hello, Greg. 888-688-9258.
Hello.
Hi, Greg. You're live on Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, I think you should continue because those items probably came from China and they just charging a bigger markup at the other store.
You know, that's a point, Walter, that with all these tariffs that are now in play, I may look cheap, but when you throw the tariff into the dollar store item, it's not as cheap or as inexpensive as you think it might be.
Should Gary Arnell continue to take items from Dollar Tree and put it into boxes of Saks Fifth Avenue or Tiffany's or some other fancy store and hand it to his friends and family as though it came from the fancy store? What should Gary Arnell do? Jason in Dallas listening on WBAP. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, Jason.
I just wanted to say, yes, it is dishonest, and yes, I am mad about it.
but only because I didn't figure it out first.
That's a really solid point there, Jason. Let's see. Stacy in Atlanta listening on WSB. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey Stacy.
So, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody gets a gift and they like it or they don't. I mean, if they're only going to like it because it's from Lord and Taylor or from Fact Fit, then they get what they deserve.
Well, it's a very interesting point, and I'm glad you called because many men have mentioned and will, I suspect, mention again that women can spot this phony behavior instantly. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know. Some aren't that smart.
Do you feel cheated when you realize it?
Well, again, you know, I'm not one of those people that loves it only because it's expensive or only because it's an expensive store. If I like it, I like it. I don't care if it's a buck or if it's $100,000.
You know, Stacy, I'm really concerned about, and I know this is a little sick, okay? And again, I'll bring it up with my shrink, but I'm concerned about the public image and the public perception, even among friends. Is it the right thing to do? You know, I consider it a challenge. I got to tell you, am I going to buy the right tchotchke that's going to look like it's $52? Can I get the box? Can I gift wrap it? And are they going to believe it? It's like a game. I know it's a mental disorder, but it's a game.
Well, okay, so I got to say, I think there's more than one mental disorder here. I'd like to address the road rage thing. Sounds like somebody's got a little bit of a bully problem.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Maybe you could spend a little time for the shrink.
Wow.
All right, well, you deserve a chance to guess the mystery voice. Are you ready, Stacy?
Yeah.
All right, here's the mystery voice for a chance to win a prize announcement.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
All right, Stacy, listening on WSB, who do you think that is?
Not a clue. I'm going to say Farrah Fawcett.
No, it's a terrible guess, really. But thank you for your call. Kathy in Georgia, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-WALT. Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Well, we're excited to be talking to you. Now, is it 9,000 degrees today in Georgia?
Absolutely.
I bet it's brutal. Now, I have a key question, a moral question for you.
Okay.
Please explain to me, people who live in places like Georgia and Florida or any place where it was 90 degrees today, and they don't turn on their air conditioners. How could they not turn on their air conditioners? What the hell is that about?
They're stupid, but they don't want to pay that electric bill.
Then why have the air conditioner and why invite me over? Don't invite me over if you're not going to turn on the air conditioner. And then what is the etiquette for getting someone to turn on the air conditioner? Because it's not in Emily Post. It's not in Ann Landers. How do I get somebody to turn on the air conditioner?
Well, I'm in my 80s. I grew up in Connecticut. We never had air conditioning. We didn't even have fans in the house. So moving down.
And why is it that people over the age of 60 insist on telling me on the air how old they are? What's that about?
Well, the reason is there was an entirely different living at those ages, and now everything is air conditioned.
Yes, as it should be.
Yeah, but I can go from one place to another, and it's from the heat to the cold, and I don't have a thyroid, so I have no temperature, body temperature.
Too much information.
Wait a minute.
Would you help Gary with his dilemma, please?
That makes me, like, faint.
Yes, you... Yes. Now, solve Gary's problem.
Gary
yes,
has
Kathy.
A moral problem.
Yeah.
He does, I believe, what Stacy said. He is a bully. What he should do is...
A bully?
Yes. He has a bully complex.
What?
He wants to feel like, oh, I have to give this woman something because I don't like her, but I'm going to give her something to make her think I like her. Forget it. Don't give her anything. And as far as the traffic thing, boy, that guy is a bully, but he's a coward.
Wow.
You're a coward,
coward. And
thank you for calling, Kathy.
By the way, Walter, just very quickly,
yes,
with the air conditioning situation,
yes,
here's what I do, because I go into relatives and friends and it's like 78 degrees. I got it set at 79. Like, why the hell even have the air conditioning then, unless there's a real big economic challenge and you don't want to turn it on? I do it myself, Walter. I look around. I scope the area out. I honestly, I'll go up to it and I'll look around and I'll knock it down 4 or 5 notches. Now, I have been, because I have a little bit of a reputation with that, I've been confronted with that, and they have said to me, did you play with that thermostat, Arnell? No, but that's what you got to do. You scope it out, you change it yourself.
Elliot in Illinois, welcome to Sterling on Sunday with Gary Arnell and his dilemma.
Well, hey. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Elliot.
I think step one is don't tell anybody else you did it.
That's probably a big mistake tonight. Yeah.
An ixnay on the radio, so.
Yeah.
You will make points if you fix it, which is only if you do it the way I'm suggesting.
How does he fix it?
And that is, well, you go to Neiman Marcus or wherever you went for the fancy box.
Yeah.
And you buy something really nice, but perhaps on sale, not gigantic. And then you take it out of the package and you go to another store to find a box to wrap it in with tissue. That store would be something like Napa Auto or your favorite auto parts store. You can get something like a tiny fuel pump or a filter or something like that. And put it in there, plus a Napa bag. And then when you bring it and you tell her, oh, wait, there's something here I want you to have. And she'll be like, I haven't the faintest idea what this is. And if she opens it, you can bare your soul and tell you that you felt terrible about it because you didn't have any money at the time. But here, this is what you should really have. And that will should melt her heart. If she doesn't.
Elliot, that's very complicated, and I really didn't understand anything you said. I'm Walter M. Sterling with Gary Arnell. Sterling on Sunday.
Walter M. Sterling.
Today, episode 302 of American Drive-Thru Brew, our serial celebrating the beer-in-your-trunk industry. Last time, we witnessed a dispute between manager Hank and lawn man Josh about the garden around the brew.
Josh, the lawn must be mowed all around the beer barn. If the grass is too long, people will think we're running a bad beer business.
I mowed the lawn last week. People do not drive into the beer barn to see the garden. They drive into the beer barn to see Nirvana.
Yet Nirvana stopped playing almost 30 years ago.
Who was that? Anyway, we have to mow the lawn, Josh. I think you'd be a lot more willing to work if you didn't have a name like Josh.
What's wrong with Josh?
It's a Nickelodeon name. Nickelodeon names usually win participation awards. They're not go-getters.
Maybe I could cut the grass around the beer barn if I wasn't worried about William Devane selling me gold I don't want.
When our country used to flex its muscle with battleships like the USS Iowa, the world would listen. It's time we return to the America I remember.
Tune in next time to find out if Josh wins a participation trophy for mowing the lawn at the beer barn on the next episode of Podcast Ready, American Life at the Drive-Thru Brew Barn. Word Carr speaking.
A production like that begs the question, why am I not on 5 days a week? What do I have to do to be on 5 days a week? Because even though other hosts earn a tremendous amount of money, they invest nothing in their shows. They don't have a cast of characters like that, great voice actors. Those are the greatest voice actors in the world who do these astonishing productions for us. Gary Arnell is in studio with us tonight, sharing his dilemma. But Gary, I have to ask, since you are a veteran showbiz professional and I'm a mere rookie, perhaps you could tell me why it is that I'm not on 5 days a week. Why is that?
Well, it didn't take me too long to figure this out, Walter. And that is that you are not critical enough. You are not yelling enough at the Democrats at least every 3 to 4 minutes. Don't let it go past that. It's 3 to 4 minutes is the outside edge, the outer limit. You don't do it, you're not going anywhere.
All right. Then I will make an audition tape tonight that every few minutes I will randomly scream at the Democrats. Is that a good plan, Gary?
I think that's a really good plan. I think you'll be doing middays, and the more you scream, you might be moving up to morning drive in a couple of these markets.
And I'll be doing Carbonite ads,
ads. All of them. They're going to come
Simply
flooding
Safe
in.
Will be coming to me.
Flooding in if you just start screaming, condemning, and yelling at the Democrats. That's what you're not doing.
They're not Democrats anymore. They're socialists. These are socialists who want to run for president of our country, and it's not going to happen. It cannot be tolerated. You know why? Because it's not constitutional. It's not what the Constitution says. Anna in Georgia on WSB. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. You want to help Gary Arnell with his dilemma? Should he take items from Dollar Tree and put it into boxes that say Saks Fifth Avenue and pawn it off as though it's from Saks Fifth Avenue? What do you think, Anna?
Hey, Anna.
I think why not? Probably this lady got him enough to do it. Okay? Number one.
Yes.
Number two, if his blood pressure came down, it's very positive.
Thank you very much for the call. Lewis in California, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-WALT. Hi, Lewis.
Lewis, baby. What do you think, man?
No, Gary, I think you should cease and desist, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to motivate her to reciprocate with an out-of-her-budget gift for you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I dislike this woman. I do not like her. So if she goes through an extraordinary expense in order to give me back that gift, I understand that there's no morals and ethics in all of this. I got that. But I'm not really fond of her. So should I be overly concerned about what you're telling me?
Probably not, but others would.
What do you you want to play the mystery voice? Guess the mystery voice and win a prize announcement, Lewis?
Certainly.
All right, here's the mystery voice.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
Who do you think that is, Lewis?
That's not that Long Island medium, is it?
The problem with our country, ladies and gentlemen, is the Democrats. You realize that not one person running for president of the United States on the Democratic ticket right now, not one of them has regular bowel movements? Do you realize what an impediment that is to being president of the United States, that they're going to go to the bathroom at random times, whereas Republicans, always regular?
Walter, I just got two emails from two stations already. They are very interested in speaking with you tomorrow if you continue this type of presentation. Two of them. I got them right here.
Lee in Philadelphia, listening on WPHT. Ooh. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Hey, Lee.
Hello, Walter, and hello, Gary.
Gary Arnell, yes.
Gary Arnell, yes. I've listened to your dilemmas every week. I've listened to Walter's show every week that he's been on. And I think that you have unrealistic expectations, not only of yourself, but of others.
Mm.
And also, I don't know how long you've been seeing your psychiatrist, but I think you need a new psychiatrist.
Well, I've been seeing Jaime Glickman in Cherry Hill, New Jersey for 6 years. He is a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. And, you know, you've given me something to think about here. Maybe it's time for a change.
It's time for a change, and I would see a psychiatrist, not a psychologist.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you about that. I want someone who has suffered through medical school. I don't want someone who's gone to Syracuse a year more than I did. Lee, would you like to guess the mystery voice? Here you go.
Okay.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
Lee in Philadelphia, who do you think that is?
Okay. I think it's William McKinley.
Very close. I appreciate it. But clearly, you have the tendency to be a Democrat, because anybody who would guess William McKinley in the context of a very serious radio show is an outrage to our republic. And people forget this is not a democracy. It's a democratic republic. And that's an entirely different thing than a democracy. But nobody remembers what it is, at least no Democrat.
Walter, the one station I'm talking to right now about you, they were going to do noon to 3. But after that heartfelt presentation, there is a possibility. I'm emailing with the PD right now. You can hear it. They may move you 2 to 6 in the afternoon or 3 to 6. But you can't. You got to be relentless. You got to keep badgering the Democrats and you'll move up. I'm talking to a guy right now.
888-688-WALT. We're screaming at the Democrats for a chance to be on 5 days a week, because that's what you got to do. Sterling on Sunday. Should Gary Arnell continue to buy things at Dollar Tree and put the items into expensive boxes that say things like Saks Fifth Avenue rather than Dollar Tree? That is Gary Arnell, our friend, his dilemma this week. Louise in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
No, I don't think you should get anything. You can easily tell that it's just kind of a nothing gift. And
no.
Why even bother? Why waste your money?
Louise, how would you easily be able to tell that? If I get somebody something that looks, how would you know? How would you know it's an inordinate? You're going to look at it and say,
at this point, what I entertain is when people, I tell them, don't bring anything. I don't want it. I just want the company. Just want the people there. And, you know, it's not necessary. Just show up. Be there.
Would you like to guess the mystery voice, Louise?
No, I can't figure that out.
888-688-WALT. Oh, my gosh, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with our country today is that the Democrats actually have a vote in Congress. If the Democrats did not have a vote in Congress, everything would be fine, because you know what the problem is? The problem is them. It's them. If it wasn't for them, everything would be pure and perfect. We'd have no problems in America. I'm trying to get a five-day-a-week radio gig, and Gary Arnell, who's with me tonight, says that the problem is that I don't scream at the Democrats every few minutes. Therefore, I'm going to scream at the Democrats every few minutes. Murph in South Philadelphia, South Philly, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hello.
Hey, Murph.
Hey, Gary.
What's going on, baby?
Nice to talk to you again. You need to walk. Yeah, I actually walk. Yeah.
Don't get him nervous.
888-688-WALT. It's a good thing we have a moratorium on the monkey, because he should have been monkeyed. And fortunately, I'm in New York. The monkey is in my laundry room, so we're safe tonight. Ellen in Pennsylvania, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, Ellen.
Hello, Walt. Hello, Gary.
Hey,
that
Ellen.
That make you nervous. But it's a great show. It's fun. Look, Gary, you know, I think you're going to need drugs, but I think, because you're pretty screwed up. I mean, that's a lot of effort. I mean, why don't you, if you're going to go to the dollar store, you really don't like this woman that much, and you feel the need that you have to get her something, and, you know, just get a paper gift bag and get her a bottle of Windex, you know. It's kind of hostile, but, you know.
But, Ellen, everybody is showing up at her birthday party.
Oh, excuse me, Ellen. I'm sorry. It's time once again to scream at the Democrats. The only way I'm going to be on 5 days a week is if I'm screaming at the Democrats, because it's absolutely necessary 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to use these giant radio signals to just scream at the Democrats and then say, get carbonite. No one's really clear what carbonite is. They think it's something you put in a pencil, but I'm telling you that I personally endorse this. It's the product that you need to save all that data in your pencil. The problem with our country? Democrats got elected. And you know what their problem is? Not regular. They're not regular. They have bowel problems. Do you want someone with bowel problems running your country? It's a radio fact, ladies and gentlemen.
Radio 3, Walter, three program directors around the country just now who were contemplating whether or not you are a legitimate talk show host have just decided that you, in fact, are.
Well, it's an honor to finally be taken seriously as a legitimate talk show host. Troy in Dallas, welcome to Sterling on Sunday with Walter M. Sterling and Gary Arnell live on a Sunday night. Hi.
Hey, Troy.
Gary's dilemma?
Yes.
If he hasn't been caught yet, it's not a dilemma.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it.
Exactly. Therefore, you're ready, Troy, to guess the mystery voice. Hit it.
I'll try.
When I had my heart attack and when we lost our house, you were right there by my side. You were there. You know something? I think that you're bad luck.
For a chance to win a prize announcement, Troy, in Dallas, who do you think that is?
Jennifer Garner.
That's a good guess because that's the first guess we've had from this century. I appreciate it. You know,
I can't tell you how many times people have called in and said, it's Doris Day.
Or how about that one who called and said it was Betsy Ross?
Betsy Ross or Doris Day.
I love it. I bet you half the guesses have been, it's Doris Day. No matter who the female voice is, it's Doris. Oh, my gosh, look at that. It's time for me to scream at the Democrats again because, again, even though there are no ratings to support it, even though there isn't one trend in Nielsen to support it, the fact is we must scream at the Democrats because I don't even remember why. That's the purpose of radio is to scream at the Democrats. Oh, my gosh. And there we have outraged Democrats who were born in America. 3 out of 4 of them were born in America. And yet our president, our great president, a man who has never made a mistake in his entire life, a man who married a woman with giant breasts, and yet he's criticized even though he married a woman with giant breasts and owns the biggest house in Florida. How dare they be not patriotic? How dare they not be patriotic and criticize our president for his wife with giant breasts? Carbonite will solve your problems.
Walter, I knew that you had this in you. And I knew it was just a matter of time till you understood the science of what works and doesn't work on radio. I knew it.
Well, you did afternoon drives on a giant talk station in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And you screamed at the Democrats.
That's
because
right.
That it said in the contract,
right,
regardless
there,
of your opinion, you would scream at Democrats.
Exactly. That's the way it works.
And that was what gave you a 5-day-a-week gig.
That's true.
Meanwhile, I get half-assed suggestions like, why don't you offer your show 3 days a week? You know, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Yeah. That would be a snap to clear. There'd be no trouble with any radio station thinking out of the box with a 3-day-a-week click.
Wow.
No, really, I got that suggestion from a well-meaning, big-hearted guy.
Really?
But yeah, but I'm like, I don't know.
You'd have to be bashing nonstop.
Take a picture of what you're looking at right now for a Sterling Snap. I will post them on Facebook tomorrow. I love seeing what you look at right now. Send it to WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Now, Gary Arnell's dilemma was, should he continue to take items from Dollar Tree and put them in expensive boxes? I will weigh in on this as a Republican. This is what the Democrats will never tell you. They'll keep it a secret. You shouldn't do that. And the reason you shouldn't do it is practical. Somebody gets a gift. Mm-hmm. It's in a Saks Fifth Avenue box.
Yeah.
They don't like it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hurt your feelings. What are they going to do? They're going to take it back to Saks Fifth Avenue. They will be humiliated and embarrassed by your gift, and that was not your intention. Gary Arnell, thanks for being with me
tonight.
Thank
you, sir.
This is Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, and the greatest gift that you and I, Midnight Misfits, can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.